You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. We're also online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. And with me in the studio this afternoon, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. It is the first Friday in September. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. Carol and Jim are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They're here to answer your questions about dog care, behavior, and training. Here are the phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. WILL. Nice to see you.
It's so nice to see you again.
Welcome back. How is everyone?
We're fine.
Yeah. And how are the dogs?
They're fine. And Celeste got to meet Andy.
Andy is a Labradoodle?
No. Golden Doodle.
Golden Doodle. Okay.
Like,
I'll get
difference.
It right one of these days.
Well, one's and golden and one's Labic.
Carol also has a golden named Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim and his wife Robin raise Malamutes. And everybody out there at Poker Flats is doing well, I hope.
Well, although it's not spring, it's a time of love at Poker Flat.
Love is in the air.
Oh, yeah. All night. When dogs are in love, they don't keep it a secret. They don't hide. Once I had a secret love.
They vocalize.
No, they express themselves all night long. Oh, I'm in love. Oh. So, not a lot of sleep at Poker Flat, but
any puppies that you've got coming up?
Well, that's to be seen,
yeah.
Because of the aforementioned love. We have three. How many is this many? Two. We have two puppies from.
They're cute.
They're about 3.5 months old now. Well, cute if you. You know, in the sense that other people's children are
these
cute.
Are the ones that mutilated your arms.
These are
the ones. 2 months ago.
And they are at an age where they ain't going to do nothing. So if you say, why don't you go into your pen? No, I'm going to run up the stairs. Why don't you run up the stairs? No, I'm going to go in my pen. So. We'll just have to live through it.
That's fun.
How long does that stage last?
Till we get the baseball bats out. And
Why does he do this?
Who knows?
Every month.
Who knows?
For how many years?
I don't know.
He makes us cringe, and we know he's just kidding.
Yeah. So what's up? What's happening with the dog training club? Any
well,
events?
We just finished classes.
Last night, the CTC.
Oh, that's right. You were an evaluator.
It turned out we didn't have... we didn't have so many people that Linda couldn't do it all, so she did.
I heard from one of my students that was there, and she got her CGC last night, so she was very happy. Yes,
and
so did one of my students.
Start up again when then?
The 14th.
The 14th is home companion orientation.
Right.
Classes will start the week of the 18th. So if you want to get your dog in a class,
that's September.
Yes,
now's the time to.
If you want to get your dog in
the
class, I talked to him this morning with a puppy. And told her to hurry up and, this puppy, a Papillon puppy.
I think that's Papillion.
Papillon puppy, 3.9 pounds. I was holding this puppy. I don't think Robbie, I think he weighed that at birth.
I got warts that are bigger than that.
It was just the cutest thing. So adorable.
What do you say we'll talk with a listener?
Sure.
Okay, so it's Jim and Carol put on their headphones. We will... put our listener on the air, a listener on a cell phone, line one. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to make two comments and ask you a question. The first comment is, I've had a lot of dogs. I've had Irish Wolfhounds, and I've had Dobermans, and I've had Cairn Terriers, and I just got a Bichon Frise. And I want to say that I picked that up, I picked them up at the Humane Society.
Oh, I know which one you
and,
got. I think I know which one you got.
Okay. Lovely, lovely. And it's the first time I've ever had a dog that didn't even know what the breed was. They thought it was a miniature toy poodle, which was 9 pounds, but then it became 15 pounds. And got curly. And they said, no, that's not a poodle. That's a Bichon. Anyway, I want to point out to people that there are really good animals that some people just can't handle that they put in the Humane Society. These are not animals that are not socially acceptable. They might come from families where kids just don't treat the dogs, don't know how to treat them in the wrong size, and it's not a good match. So we're very happy. This is our first Humane Society dog, and we're happy about it.
Good.
The second thing I want to mention, and I get this from everybody, is they always say, well, if you want to housebreak your dog, use a crate. Well, if you, or, you know, the dog has separation anxiety, if you're getting a dog from the Humane Society, don't assume a crate is a good place to put your dog. You don't know the dog's background. That crate may have been used as a punishment, and you have to learn what the dog will do and won't do. Mm-hmm. And the guys I've called up before where everyone said, it's nice that there are lots of books on what to do with the dog, but what do you do when the dog doesn't do what it's supposed to when you followed the book? Okay? So, and you sort of have to, you know, stick with it. Now I want to ask you the question. Arbuchon is housebroken, except that if a male comes into the house or we've done something erratic to the schedule, he will mark. He's got a bed and go mark, and he doesn't bark, so he doesn't give us any chance to take him out. And my sister has a Maltese, and she says that she has the same problem with hers. And I looked up in a book, and they said that the breeds like the Bichons and the Maltese and a couple of the other ones are virtually not 100% housebroken. There's a tendency for them to want to mark, not defecate. And that you have to accommodate that. You have to figure out, you have to realize that. And a lot of people just give up because they can't, you know, do the housebreaking. So I want to know, have you ever heard anything about these small dogs and the Maltese and the Bichon and that kind of group of dogs as being extremely difficult?
I haven't.
Is this a female dog you're talking about?
It's a male.
It's a male?
Let me hang up and listen, okay? Thank you.
Was it a male? I haven't heard of that regarding Bichons. We had a friend who had Afghans, and he once commented that Afghans, which are much, obviously much larger dog, were very hard to housebreak. And he had a lot of them. So whether it's a breed characteristic, though, I don't think so.
I think that
training,
myth is there,
yeah,
because
training.
This is my theory.
Ah.
Because these dogs are so small.
They're hard to catch.
No, that it's, you know, it doesn't, it's like a tablespoonful of urine, perhaps, and little tiny feces. And I think people just don't, it's not the same as having a golden retriever, a Malamute, not housebroken. So maybe it's, and yeah, they're quicker about it. But I don't think I've ever heard of it.
I don't think it's a breed characteristic.
No, I don't think
that,
so.
Well, you just stopped all the Bichon people from calling you. No, it's not a breed. I think it may be harder to catch males that that are that small because it's not that they're faster, it's just they're closer to the ground. And,
yeah.
They can lift their leg pretty quick and pee before you know it.
And then it could be, that's why I wanted to know if it was male or female, if it was submissive urination because somebody new is entering the house or something.
Well,
there's too many variables there that we don't know, but I don't, marking is a behavior that any dog can have. I don't know if it's necessarily indigenous to.
It's not the same as housebreak. What we consider housebreaking, where the dogs seem to go wherever their fancy takes them, and one of them is in the house, and we would prefer that it was not in the house. What this gentleman was talking about was a behavior that dogs do to mark territory or to announce themselves or something like that.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people prefer a female dog because there's this myth out there that male dogs mark everything. And they don't. I've had intact male dogs all my adult life. I've never had one mark in the house. Never. I have had a female dog that had a submissive urination problem. And she, too, would urinate when somebody would come in the house that she knew and liked. So we would do the greeting outdoors.
Mm-hmm. That's not a housebreaking.
It's not, but it's mm-hmm. but we know it's not a house right. training issue. But to some people, any urination or defecation mm-hmm. in the house becomes a house training issue, and it's maybe perhaps a more behavioral issue. So until you know a lot of, until you even see the behavior itself, it's risky to say something like
okay.
that.
What do you say we take another call? A listener on line 4 in Vermilion County. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I wonder if it's possible for me to establish a separate relationship from my friend's dog than the dog seems to have with the family it lives with. My friend has a really sweet golden retriever, a female who must be 4 or 5 years old, who's pretty bouncy and tends to jump up, and that's usually dealt with by just telling the owner tells the dog, get down, get down. But when I show up, I wonder if there's some way that I can seem different to the dog so it won't jump up on me. What can I do? And I'm not an authoritative kind of a personality.
Okay, so the dog jumps on you whenever you show up, and you don't want the dog to jump on you.
Right, and, you know, I mean, then the owner yells at the dog to get down. The dog eventually gets down. But, you know, is there some way that I can just, by having my own the way I approach or treat the dog when I get to the door, that I can have the dog not jump on me?
Jim can hardly wait to speak.
This is a variant.
I mean, I like dogs, and dogs know I like them. So I'm, you know, I think the vibes are really good, but I don't really want to be jumped on.
Okay. When you go over to your friend's house, get a newspaper and roll it up, so it's kind of like a bat. When you walk in and the dog jumps on you, hit your friend on the head, and you know, don't do anything with the dog because it's not the dog's fault. Pop your friend on the head with the newspaper until your friend gets the dog off. Every time you come over, then you keep doing that. Sooner or later, your friend is going to say, boy, it's not worth getting hit on the head all the time. I think I'll train my dog. All right? Yelling at a dog to get – the dog is greeting you and is greeting everybody else.
I know that.
And the dog can be trained to greet properly. You can't do it.
I can't.
Well, I strike that. You could do it if you go over to your friend's house and spend the time with the dog to train it not to jump. But
I can't have it look at me as something separate so that it wouldn't jump.
This is what I would
Carol's
do.
the golden expert.
Yeah, this is what – you know, it always reminds me of that scene in Airplane when the
Don't
pilot
call me
comes
Shirley.
To – No, when the pilot comes to pick up the other pilot and they've got a golden retriever that attacks him when he walks in the house. And it's so funny to me.
Yeah.
I just rented that again this weekend. If I were you and I walked in the house and the dog jumped at me, I'd just turn right around and go right back out the door. Don't say a word. Just turn right around, go back out the door. Mm. And then you try it again and the dog jumps and you go right back out the door. Until eventually the dog thinks, and they will, I'm jumping on her. I think this is the behavior that's causing her to leave. And then you can come in and interact. But you can't go in there and telling the dog to get down. It's 4 or 5 years old. It's not working. Hello. They need to try something different. That's what I would do. I would just walk out the door.
Things that are non-training. For example, get a handful of dog cookies. When you walk in, here comes the dog. Throw the dog cookies on your friend's floor. Make sure some go under the furniture. And what's the dog's going to go and try to get
this
the cookies.
This isn't a friend of mine.
Yeah. One thing you can't the point is your friend has to train the dog. It would be very difficult, as I tell people in my classes, you don't wait until the dog is doing the bad behavior to train them. It's too late at that point. What you have to do is train the dog that when somebody comes to the door, they're not to go and jump on that person. But if the person comes in, the dog comes in and the dog's jumping, well, you can't train them not to jump. They're already doing it.
Let's do this.
Wait. Okay.
When she brings the dog cookies, instead of throwing them on the floor, she knows the dog is going to jump because you can predict that behavior, correct? So before the dog jumps on you, ask it to sit and give it a treat.
If the dog knows sit,
If the dog knows sit, I'm sure it does.
Well, probably.
Maybe.
Okay. Another thing you can do that's... It works for me, but it could be a little dangerous, and that is this. It's kind of a modified Barbara Woodhouse. But you walk in, if you put your hand kind of straight out and with your hand between your eyes and the dog's eyes, the dog is less likely to jump on you. I say less likely because if the dog jumps, you're going to jump right into your hand and maybe push your fingers
back. Oh, I thought
this
was going to be some visual
thing. No. Yeah, you're blocking the dog from looking at your face. The dog is essentially jumping on you, not to jump on you, but they're trying to lick your face. So if the dog can't see your face, that's going to block their idea of trying to jump.
I like my idea better.
I like your idea better, too. I'm just saying this is kind of a temporary thing.
Yeah.
I do it with my dogs when they're going to jump on me and I have my work clothes on. And, of course, it's a suit and tie. So I put my hand there and they don't jump.
Yeah. You know, Jan Fennell, the dog listener, she would, I think...
I love her cakes.
I think she would go with your first idea of going out the door. Mm-hmm. Because what she has a training program where you come in the house and if jumping is a problem, and she sees it as a problem behavior, that what you do is you don't reinforce that.
Right. And this requires, to do that, to turn your back on the dog and leave, it's not going to stop jumping that day. It's going to take repeated walking away from the dog till they make the connection. And
which is why the owner, who's there all the time, you know, the next person that comes in isn't going to turn around and go out. So the dog is, again, going to be rewarded for jumping.
So this has to be a pattern that the friend and the owner set up.
Yeah, every friend that comes in. But
that's why I asked if it was something that I myself could alter the dog's relationship.
Yeah, talk to your friend and tell her that this is, you know, this bothers you. You enjoy her company, but you don't like being jumped on by the dog. But you don't want it to turn into a punitive exercise either.
Right. Yeah. So
why punish a dog?
Extinguishing it is the method we're trying to do. And I wondered, you know, if I myself, just me and the dog, could have that relationship. That's why I was asking it.
I think
it's not impossible. It's just that
if she does,
you have to spend a lot of time
doing and
it.
If she does one of the things consistently, the dog will then say, okay, this is, we're going to call you Mary. This is Mary. Mary doesn't like to be jumped on. I like Mary. I don't want her to leave, so I won't jump. In dog speak.
Thanks.
Okay. Look at the lines lit up there.
All right. Well, next we're going to go to the state of New Hampshire. A listener on line one. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I have a problem. When I'm feeding my dog, they seem to make the most, they scream bloody murder. Even before I start feeding them, the moment the first kibble hits the tin, they scream to the point that it irritates me and my neighbors.
And do you have any neighbors in New Hampshire?
Unfortunately, I do. Many, too many.
Do they live free or die?
However, the problem is that these guys make too much noise, and I'm assuming that between the two of you, you must have come up with the perfect way of training your dogs to be quiet. Now, I thought about not feeding them.
This is a hoax call.
This is Hiram. They make too much noise, and I can't. I'm afraid they're going to irritate my neighbors.
Hiram has several dogs from us. Hiram has many Poker Flat dogs. Hiram, what I suggest is
they make too much noise.
Instead of the facility that you built in your backyard, you build a soundproof kennel and feed the dogs in there.
I thought maybe not feeding them to a certain point in time would help the noise problem.
Well, Celeste, we know this guy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in years, but we know who he is.
Well, I emailed Hiram today, and I gave him the URL for the WIL webpage so he could listen.
Listen. I'm sorry. I took the next step of calling in was... Anyway. Good to hear you guys.
Okay. Stay out of trouble.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
Let's take another call. Listener closer to home, Urbana, line two. Hi.
Hi. I was back on the jumping problem.
Uh-huh.
We have a dachshund who is... small standard. He's not a mini, but he's pretty small. And he jumps on everybody as they come in. And we have found a solution. We hand the visitor a tennis ball and invite them to throw it across the room.
Mm-hmm.
The dog chases the tennis ball, brings it back, and there's no more jumping.
See?
There.
How clever.
Yeah, and that's a form of greeting. What I was trying to suggest earlier is some way to irritate the owner into doing exactly what you've done. Do something to train the dog.
But it's clever. You stumbled on something that works, and now somebody out there is listening, and they're going to try it. And I'll bet you that woman's friend tries a tennis ball.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's a very good
idea. It is very good.
And it satisfies the dog, too, because it's a type of I talk for a living.
It's an interaction.
It's an interaction. It's a type of greeting, and that's what all the dog wants is to greet.
Right. Yeah.
Great. Thanks for your call. I love it when people are inventive and think of things that, you know, that's why I said anything punitive that they do to this dog would be worthless because the dog's 4 or 5 years old. You've got to be creative like this woman.
Don't you think hitting the owner on the head with a newspaper was creative?
Well, it's not going to do much for the friendship. And then she won't have to worry about being the dog jumping on her because they won't be friends anymore.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, it's so soon we get old.
And so too late smart.
Yeah, exactly. So 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers if you would like to talk with Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Jim and Carol join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. They join us on the first Friday of the month, and here it is already, the first Friday of September. Let's take another call. A listener on the toll-free line in Marshall, I believe. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hello.
Hi there.
Well, what I've done with my dog is whenever the doorbell rings, I just give him a biscuit.
Good idea.
Yeah.
They don't run to the door, so I run into the door. When the doorbell rings, they run to me.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's another great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
That's a wonderful idea.
You know, my suggestion is you put a mat somewhere when the doorbell rings. The dog runs to the mat, and you give him
the cookie
so that the dog isn't blocking the door when they come in. But, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a pretty big dog, and he knocks people over when he jumps on them. So I just give him a cookie whenever the doorbell rings.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's perfect. Seeing no one has to hit you on the head with a newspaper to get you to do that.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners are so good today. We could just, Jim and I could just sit here back and listen. They keep calling. They've got good ideas.
Very good ideas.
Right.
Well, thank you for the call.
No problem. Thank you.
That was a very good idea.
Excellent idea. Other excellent ideas are invited.
Yeah.
333-9455.
I'm taking notes.
800-222-9455. And Carol, you wanted to mention that the Humane Society has a deal going.
A new venue for us, and I'm excited about it. We will be having one of the main concession stands at Memorial Stadium for each home game. So if you want to have a great snack or meal while you're at the football game, and you want to support the Humane Society, you can do both at the same time.
How about that?
Yeah. And we're on the east side of the stadium, so as opposed to the west side of the stadium.
And also from time to time.
Or the north side.
The Humane Society has a little table at the farmer's market in Urbana.
Yes, we do. However, we canceled it for tomorrow because I was doing that.
You got to cook hot dogs or something instead. Popcorn or whatever.
Nobody else on the planet can sell shirts.
I'm not even going to respond to that. But 2 weeks ago, I did Farmer's Market, and you're there at the crack of dawn, and you take the, and it was hot, and that's where I saw you, and take it down. And I said to them, I said, you guys, I can't do Farmer's Market and the football game.
So one's in the morning, one's in the afternoon.
That gives me like 2 hours to myself
there
in
you
a 24-hour period. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's where we'll be for each home game on the east side of the stadium. Big stand, friendly, smiling faces, all Humane Society volunteers.
Bring money.
And have a...
Have a hot dog.
Have a snack.
Hot dog, Polish sausage, popcorn, pretzels, nachos.
You're
going to
have dogs
cheese.
At the thing?
No.
Any other news from the Humane Society?
Well, now let me see. We have our big event. You're going to love this. Our big event in October. Invitations will be going out soon. And Jim is you got a letter.
I think we already got ours.
Yeah,
huh?
You'll get the real invitation.
There's a real invitation?
Yes, and the
engraved
event is now called Cold noses, warm hearts.
Oh, God.
I love that. I love that. You don't know how we agonized over this name change. And on the inside, it'll say, black tie optional, warm hearts required. Now, isn't that a tearjerker? Yes. So we're looking forward to that. That'll be October 20th. And if you'd like information about the event, you can call the shelter at 344-PAWS. But, looking forward to that big time. It's going to be a great event for us.
Okay. This is the Afternoon Magazine. We're talking this afternoon about dogs, dog trainers. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, our guests. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. I was going to ask you, Jim, about Tommy. How's he doing?
Tommy is getting old. Mm-hmm. He's 12 plus.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah,
oh,
he
my.
Was... I think Robin said that he was born on the same day as Harry Potter. So was that August 31st? Strike that, July 31st. But he was 12, and he's showing his age. He gets up. We take him to the chiropractor every couple months. And that having been said, he's still happy, still very mm-hmm. annoying.
He is the most...
Beautiful I had
dog.
A picture of him. One of our club members' husband runs the children's library at Champaign Public Library. And a couple weeks ago, they had an event, dog books and dog care, things for the kids. So Tommy's great with kids mm-hmm. and always has been. So we took Tommy, and he was probably as big as all the other dogs there combined.
He's huge.
He's a big dog. We brought a grooming table and put Tommy up on the grooming table. And the kid said, why is he up on a table? Well, we don't want his hair to get all over. The real reason was he was substantially larger than all the kids. And all he'd have to do is turn around and he'd knock mm-hmm. two or three over. But Robin, and I thought I had the picture with me, Robin took just a great picture of all these little girls petting Tommy, and Tommy with this big smile on his face. And I call the picture Babe Magnet. he was just wonderful.
I remember years ago, we were at the International, and there was in Chicago.
At McCormick Place.
In McCormick Place. And I was there, and I went, and I didn't know you guys were around the corner. And I walked around the corner, and there was this throng of people around this dog. And it was Tommy on a grooming table there, too, mm-hmm. and Jim. And it was all girls, all women, because Tommy was just – there was something about him that you could not walk past this dog. You can't. And what did everybody ask you what he was? I can't remember.
A lot of people thought he was an Akita.
Yeah, because he was all white, mm-hmm. and they're used to the – but Tommy was just in heaven. He just sat up there or laid there.
He's good
and everybody,
with crowds.
He loved it.
Remember when that little girl – we were at that booth.
Farmer's Market.
It was something like that.
With WILL a couple years ago.
Yeah, and we had, and Tommy was there, and the little girl came and jumped on his stomach. and I was just convinced that, you know, he would turn around and snap, as any dog would if somebody kicked him in the stomach. And Tommy just looked at me and said, please get her off of me.
Get me out of here. That was fun that day we did. That was about four or five years ago, I think.
It was a hot day. Yeah.
It was, yeah. Although it was overcast, that saved the day. Mm-hmm. But the reason I bring up this question is because we were talking about the farmer's market, and I remember being at the farmer's market with Tommy. And, you know, two issues here now. As an animal ages, what kinds of things should we be aware of? Because they, as you mentioned, chiropractic, because they need extra care. They need extra patience. What else do we have to be aware of?
You'll notice that you want to keep an eye on their diet because they will tend to put on weight because the same reason we do. They get a little less active. Mm-hmm. In fact, they get a lot less active when they get old. They will have orthopedic problems. Now, Tommy will have the problems are a little more painful for him because he's so big. So... a smaller dog, let's say with hip dysplasia, it might not bother them as much because they don't have as much weight on it. Tommy does not have hip.
They get arthritis just like
But they get
we
arthritis.
Do.
One thing that you become aware of, it's not really a problem, but dogs will get their minds start to go a little bit, and they'll start following you from room to room. And you'll notice your dog, every time you go to a different room, there's the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, but I think it has to do with they just don't feel comfortable far away from you. They'll tend to get cataracts, so you have to – cataracts don't bother them as much as they might us because they don't use sight the way we do. They use their noses a lot more. But you got to watch out for that, that they might not be able to see as well.
Hearing. Their hearing will
start to go. Their hearing will go, yeah. And you start to – well, Tommy's litter sister, Leslie, who's we also have, I think her hearing's – it's not gone, but you can stand behind her and call her and she
– yeah.
And it's not just ordinary Malamute deafness. It's real deafness.
Yeah, he means like selective deafness. But you'll notice it, and I remember when it happened with mine, it's so gradual that all of a sudden you realize that, you know, they don't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sense you in the house and that type of thing. But you probably notice it more outdoors when you call them to come in and nothing. It's probably good to go to the vet, I think, at least twice a year and have a good blood panel run and a urinalysis so they've got some kind of benchmark so they can compare, you know, subsequent tests to that panel. Yeah, I think the arthritis, I think, would be the biggest problem, and making certain that people, you know, the kids don't jump on them or startle them because they're not as...
Yeah, because they can't hear as well or see as well.
And they hurt.
And kids move so fast. You know, a younger dog can see them coming, hear them coming, but the older dogs really can't.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's a kid jumping on them, and it can be frightening.
And you might, and you might see a behavior that you didn't see when they were younger. You might, they had like a little irritability.
Yeah.
Like me.
Well, you have been irritable.
No, okay.
Their dietary needs may change, and so that's, you know, you have to watch out
and
for
how
those
do you,
things.
And how do you tailor, how do you scale back but yet keep some physical activity built in?
Well, that's
slower
that's where
walks,
when
shorter walks?
Jim mentioned taking Tommy to a chiropractor, and there's a whole big group of people out there that believe in chiropractic care, acupuncture for dogs that are a little bit slower. But, yes, you wouldn't want to take a dog that... is what, Tommy's age, you wouldn't take him for a 3 or 4 mile hike.
No.
He might want to go. It goes back to that whole heat issue mm-hmm. we talked about. They may want to do it, but they're not going to be able to do it. And that's really pretty heartbreaking for people when they have to come to that realization that they just can't do what they used to do anymore. You know,
And the point I think you're getting to, Celeste, is they still need to exercise. Mm-hmm. You can't say, well, he's old, I'm not going to let him out. They got to get out and get around this. Not as much, you know, the time span we normally give all the dogs in the morning, I got a lot of dogs to take care of, not a lot of time. So every dog gets about 15 minutes out, the house dogs anyway. Tommy goes out for 5 minutes and then lays on the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, well, I'm wasting everybody else's time. So he only gets out a very short amount of time. So he isn't going to exercise himself. I'm going to have to, you know, when I get home, I have to kind of lead him around.
Yeah, the 2 or 3 mile walks go by the wayside. Then, you know, the physical exercise, but it's so important, too, to keep them mentally stimulated. So a walk around the block.
Puzzles are good for that.
A walk around the block will give them that mental stimulation, not quite the physical activities they were accustomed to, but it still gets them out.
Well, and
that's
Tommy
important.
Tommy always was a toy hound, and we have the pile of toys in the corner, and... You know, we spend our time putting him back, and then he spends his time taking him back out. So he's still doing that, but he can't really focus on any one toy. He gets a toy, he looks at it. I think he's wondering why he got it. He goes up, gets another one, and within about 10 minutes, all the toys are out again. But he's not really playing with any toy like he used to.
Yeah, you'll see that. You'll see their play activity diminish a little bit.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's nice, and it's not certainly for everybody, but to have more than one dog, I think, is beneficial because they'll play with each other where they might not.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but, you know, we clean the house every 10 years, whether it needs it or not. And
he's probably telling the truth.
Back in July, I thought I better move the couch and vacuum under it. And I moved the couch. Tommy had put, I don't know, like 30 or 40 bones that we give. He'd gone out, grabbed somebody else's bone, came in, and put it under the couch. And we got this huge. I said, Robin, come here. And there were toys there, too, that he stuffed under there. But
that's what you should have taken a picture of.
Yeah. It was just a mess. I had all these bones under there. And Tommy, don't bury your bones under the couch.
Now he's 12 and he's telling them this.
Yeah.
You see?
And Tommy, of course, understands every word.
Tommy would understand it.
No, he's looking at me going, what are you doing with my bones, buddy?
They've been there for 10 years.
I worked very hard at this.
Please. I know. I've got a count on anyone.
Don't you have something else to do? Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is with children, teaching them how to behave around dogs. We don't do this, you know.
And no, that's so hard because I ran home to let them out before I came over here, and I happened to catch a little, because I always have Animal Planet on. It was Emergency Vets, and they had a German Shepherd on. The two little girls, and one was 5, and I think the other was younger, put a rubber band around its neck. Now, you know, it wasn't a malicious act. They didn't discover the rubber band until the dog's skin was infected, and they noticed the smell because you couldn't see this rubber band. Who would think to tell a kid, don't put a rubber band around your dog's neck, because you just give them the idea in the first place.
Right.
So, you know, and it depends on the age of the child. I always get a little anxious but I never had kids. I guess maybe that's why. I never had children.
Well, we always had dogs, but so it, I don't
so
even
do we.
Know, I don't remember being told you this is what you do. We just kind of, but it's a lot of children don't have dogs and they don't know.
Well, my mother will always tell anybody that the only time my brother got a spanking, and it wasn't much of that to begin with, it was when he kicked our dog, and he was only like 4. And I think kids do things to see what the reaction is going to be from the dog. He didn't expect the reaction that he got from my mom, because my mom and dad were good, because when we were little, we were always taught to treat animals well. That was just a given. It never occurred to us to do otherwise. My brother just slipped under the radar screen that day, and I don't know why he did what he did, but I really don't know a good answer for that.
The library thing I talked about earlier, that was one of the points of doing it, trying to teach kids how to approach dogs. And as with anything else, a positive approach is better than a negative approach. Rather than say, kids, don't do this, say, kids, do this, do this. But you're right. Well, and because every kid is new and it's never seen a dog before, they all have to learn. It's not like you can teach one kid and then every kid in the world knows. So it's a constant thing. But and I regard as the job of the parents to do that. Just as when this little 1-year-old girl jumped on Tommy's stomach, her dad was standing right there, and instead of stopping her from doing it, he took out a camera and took a picture.
You're kidding me.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Sir, your daughter...
It was one of those moments where you just kind of look at each other and like, oh.
You had
your daughter is jumping
rolled
on
up newspaper, dad,
yeah, exactly.
Bop.
Exactly.
You'd think he'd be concerned about his daughter's welfare, but anyway,
I know people would think it's being cruel to fathers, but if I had a newspaper, I'd have bopped him on the head.
Oh, boy. This is the Afternoon Magazine. We've got about 5 minutes left in this portion of the program. Listeners, if you've got a question about dogs, give us a call this afternoon. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Anything else you want to?
You know, I was just thinking about this children thing, though, that I have noticed. I had Andy at Farmer's Market last month, and it's not just with her, but I've all noticed it just about everywhere. But children do ask if they can pet your dog. You don't see that so much as you used to years ago, where they just rush up. They would ask if they can pet the dog. So there is some kind
That's
of education
good.
Going on. And yeah, I think it is good because it gives you the opportunity to say, well, gee, no. You know, I don't think it's a good thing. He doesn't like to be petted. Hulky was terrified of children, petrified. I have no idea why, but he was. And I'll always remember we were walking down the street one day and these kids came rushing up. This is my neighborhood. And he backed out of his collar and took off. He was that afraid. So, yeah, and we got a call.
Okay.
So you just never know.
Yeah. Well, let's take this call. Listener on line one on a cell phone. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm sorry for any static. Very quickly, I have the classic case that I used to laugh about of anxiety separation for my black lab. I have two dogs, and she's the only one that has it. She has developed when we have picture windows, and when they're on the deck outside and she thinks she's not going to get in when she wants to, she has started pooping on the deck instead of going down in the yard to do so because it's closer. Now, do you have any classic remedies for this? This is an older dog, 3 or 4. She has started it within the last 6 months.
My guess is she's going on the deck because she's anxious. In other words, everything's tightening
right.
up.
She doesn't want to leave us.
Boy, at this age for that to develop, there's something
yeah.
going on, don't you think?
It's not classic separation anxiety. It's probably learned something she learned. If it is separation anxiety, it's a very profound problem. And but there are, and I'm a big believer in medications, and there are medications that you can get from your vet that will substantially reduce her anxiety. And that is probably going to reduce the behavior you were talking about.
Why don't you email us and tell us, because we're going to go off the air here soon, and give us some more examples of what she does. Because if this is the only thing that she's doing that's different, that's very unique.
Could it be a health problem?
The only thing, she just literally, you can watch her. She starts to go down in the yard. She comes back, and we've caught her, you know, and she'll go. We try to watch her, but it's hard. She just doesn't want to get that far away when she thinks she's going to get inside.
So when you open the door, does she just race back in the house?
Oh, yeah.
Does she go outside willingly, or do you have to take her out?
Yeah, she minds. She goes outside willingly because we tell her to. You know, she'd prefer to be in, but... Yeah, it's not a fear phobia.
So what else does she do beside that?
Other than that, you know, she likes to follow. She does the old dog want to be around you all the time. She was sort of a rescue 3 years ago. Kennel dog kept for show, turned out to be too small.
Mm-hmm.
And instead got in this wonderful home. And she's in seventh heaven. But she doesn't want to be away from us. But the pooping just started.
Yeah, that's kind of... Have you talked to your vet at all?
Yeah, nothing wrong with her.
Hmm. Oh.
Well, how big is your yard?
How big is what?
The yard where she's... when you
2 acres.
Okay.
Oh, 2 acres? Did she get caught out in a storm or something and she couldn't get in?
No.
Has anything else changed?
No.
In the house? New kids? Old
no.
kids?
It happened was it started after we'd been away on
okay.
one of our trips for about 4 or 5 days.
And who took care of her? Oh, did we lose her?
I don't know. Is the caller still
her.
There? Yeah.
There's got to be something out. That occurred to this dog that's causing this very specific, odd, aberrant behavior. And if somebody was house-sitting... Maybe she was outdoors when there was a lightning or a thunder or something that scared her. And that's because for that to happen at her age and just within the last 6 months, there's something
for,
that happened.
For a quick fix, yeah. I would take food bits and show them to the dog, but kind of scatter them all out if you have 2 acres. And that'll give the dog something to do. She'll go out and she'll start looking
yeah.
for all this food.
But she's been scared. But I think she's been scared by something.
That may be, but I think the food would overcome that.
Eventually, yeah.
Be with her when, take her off the deck.
Yeah, I go outside with her.
Yeah.
You know.
I'd feed her, like, at the back end of the property.
Yeah, I'd be out there with her and see if there's got to be something that happened to that dog. I hope she calls back next month.
Next month, okay.
Or emails us.
All right. And do you want to give an email?
Oh, it's on our website that we've
dog
got.
Dog Training Club
yeah.
of Champaign-Urbana. Just put that into your browser. And
yeah.
That's the easiest
yeah.
thing to do. Okay. Well, we'll see you in October. How about that?
Isn't that amazing? And then I always like it when she says, I'll see you in April and I'll see you in May. Those are the ones I like to hear because we know it's spring.
Okay. Well, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel will be back with us next month here on the Afternoon Magazine. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. And they join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training.